the Bible. You can probably guess actually who, because probably not too many, but we're going to look at a grandmother in the Bible. And my theme this morning, or my title this morning, is A Life Well Lived. That's the title for it, A Life Well Lived. No, we're not at a funeral service right now, because that may be when you may hear that phrase used, a life well lived, when talking about someone who, well, hopefully lived a good life. Now, coming from the UK, it's interesting. Here, when someone has a funeral at a church, they tend to have attended that church or had a connection to the church. If someone has no connection to a church, they most likely have a funeral at a home or somewhere else. Where in the UK, even if you don't attend a church, you 90% of the time will still have your funeral service at a church. So all that to say, the majority of funerals that we took in the UK were non-Christian, were people in the community. And so there was a great opportunity to witness and with the family. But it was also interesting when you're doing the majority of funerals for people who didn't proclaim a faith, to hear what a life well lived looked like to other people. Because most funerals in the eulogy, that would come up. That Bobby, he lived a good life. He traveled the world. He had lots of grandchildren. He had lots of friends. He had a great job. He had a great retirement. Oh, Bobby, he had a life well lived. And that's sometimes what we think about when we hear that term, a life well lived, is somebody who was adventurous, somebody who had lots of people around him, maybe a long, happy marriage. But the person that I'm talking about this morning, we're not so sure that's the case. Yet as I was praying and thinking about this person in the Bible, that's the phrase that came to mind, was a life well lived. And we find this grandma, her name's Lois, and we find her story in 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says this. Paul writes this letter to Timothy, a letter of instruction, a letter of encouragement. And he says this, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And that's all that's said on the grandma. And you're thinking, wow, this is going to be a nice short sermon. And hopefully it will be anyway. But that's all that's said about Lois. So we're thinking, okay, well, how do we get much of her story? Well, we have to look at the context of the day. Those of you here today that have read even a small portion of the Bible will probably know that if God's going to give a shout out to somebody in the Bible, quite often it's a man. Quite often in the Bible, when names are listed, it's the male. And so straight away, something started clicking inside my brain, which is not, actually doesn't happen often. But hang on, why just the grandmother? Why just the mother? Something in that culture of the day is saying something must have happened, because Paul would have given a shout out to both parents, to both grandparents. But the fact that this is just, I see a genuine faith in you, Timothy, a faith that I saw first in your grandmother and then also in your mother, indicates maybe a couple of things. Two potential scenarios. One was that Timothy's father and grandfather refused to accept Jesus Christ. And it was down for his mother and grandmother to bear that faith. But again, the culture of the day would say, well, if the father and grandfather rejected the faith, then they would have been very radical as women to really make themselves known in a faith community. So what more likely would have been the situation is father and grandfather at different times or at the same time had died, had passed away. There would have been clear heartache in the story and the family of Timothy, that Lois, the grandmother, would have had a huge part to play in Timothy's growing up, especially his faith growing up. And I know here we have grandmothers and grandfathers who could testify to a similar story of helping to raise or being a big part of the grandchild's life. Whether she had to move in with the family or not, either way, there would have been heartache and difficulty in the life of Lois. But why would this phrase, a life well lived, come to mind when praying about this passage? Because that despite difficulties, despite heartache, despite whatever would have happened to Granddad and to Father, their faith shone through. Their faith shone through so much so that it impacted Timothy to go on to be one of the great church leaders that stemmed through this faith. And so then Paul says to him, because of this faith that I see in you, he says, now fan it into flames. In other words, step it up, press on, take it to the next level. I see this faith in you, this genuine faith that you've accepted Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. You've accepted that there is hope, there is life, there is salvation. Now step it up. In other words, allow the Holy Spirit, which is God, to dwell in us. Allow God to lead you and fill you more and more each and every day. Lois didn't hide this faith, even through the heartaches and disappointments of life. You know, it got me thinking about, you know, how we parent, how we grandparent our kids, and how they can see a genuine faith for my kids in me. And too often, I catch myself when I say the terms praise God or thanks to God, it's often when something good has happened. Maybe you've had a job promotion. Maybe you've got good news about health. Maybe something positive has happened, and our straight response is, and we tell people, God is good, and that's good, and we should do that. But do we praise God even through the hard times? Do we acknowledge God even in the difficulties? Because here's the thing, others are watching. You know, for a personal example, when I was at college, I kind of, second year of college, about 10 years ago, there was a paper due in, and I thought I was on top of it, and then I looked at the date for the hand-in, and I misread the date, and it was that day, and I hadn't finished the paper. And for me, that was a big thing, and I absolutely freaked out, and I had my first experience of pretty much a panic attack. And I remember this horrible moment that kind of prolonged over a few days. I kind of wrestled with it. And I didn't tell anybody about this, which kind of prolonged for mentally for a long time, because I was training to be a pastor. What kind of pastor has anxiety? What kind of pastor has worries? What kind of pastor has a breakdown? And so I didn't say those things because I thought, I can't say those things. What does it say of my faith? Then I find out a few years ago that my family actually has a history of anxiety, and that family members that have gone before me have bravely and gone before me and fought this stuff. But I had no idea. Because so often things are, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. But here's the reality. When trouble hits, and which will hit, that all age, when our children grow up and they have a trouble, when they have a difficulty, if all they've seen us is praising God in the good times, then when they have trouble, whatever that looks like, there may be a doubt. They may go, well, I never saw that happen in those people's lives. Maybe my faith isn't very strong because I only heard the praises on the good time. Now, I'm not saying go home and tell everyone the gory details of everything you go through. But maybe when we do this protective, oh, I'm not going to tell them, I want to tell them everything's good, everything's good. Maybe that's not always the best thing. Maybe we have an opportunity to allow our faith to shine through, even through the difficult moments. so that when those who are watching us, they go, man, my parent, my grandparent, man, back in the day, they went through a tough time. I saw them going through a tough time. But you know what? I also saw them cling to Jesus. I also saw them praying out. I also saw them praising out. I also saw them draw strength through their faith. I feel here when we read through this letter that Paul gives to Timothy, that he gives a good picture of what a life well lived in Jesus looks like. And I'm going to get help for this one. Maddie's going to come up again. She likes to come up. In our home, we have a blackboard by our dinner table where we have like a verse for the month. And we try and do memory verse, and we try to learn what that verse means. Not just to have them know it, but actually to really know it in the heart. And this next passage, which flows from what I've just read, was our last month's memory verse. So Maddie's going to come up, wherever she is, there she comes, and she's going to share the next Bible verse with you, which is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. This is Paul writing to Timothy, and this is him giving this is what a life well lived in Jesus looks like. She learned two ways, first in a rap, then another way. You're going to rap it? Do it. You hold it?
No.
Okay.
For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and self-control. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and self-control. Maddie, out. Boom!
The Maddie out boom was a paraphrase, probably found in the message. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. That is what Paul writes following this passage. Fan into flames. Three things. There we go. A life well lived with Jesus can first look like a life with power. Power as in strength. Strength to be able to say to those difficult circumstances, those fears, those worries, those stresses, those concerns, to say, I can conquer this. Why? Because I have Jesus. I can do all things because I have Jesus. I can face tomorrow because I have a hope in Jesus. I have a God that is for me and that is with me. You know, for one person going into a situation, maybe easy, maybe nothing. For another person going into that same situation, it may keep them up all night. And for them, living a life well lived is for them going into that situation, going, this is not my comfort zone. This is not an easy moment, but I am going to clothe myself with Christ. I am going to bring him into this. I am going to cry out to him because I can do all things through Christ who gives me that strength to continue. A life well lived is a life with asking Jesus to give us that strength and power. A life well lived is a life of love. A love first of God, saying, God, I thank you for sending your son to die for me. I want to follow that. I want to pursue that. A life of love, of awe, and of worship. But a love for others, which may look different. It's not always the lovey-dovey kind of love. It's a love of compassion. It's a love of forgiveness. It's a love of sacrifice. Most likely that would be a love that people would have seen in Lois, who would have probably had to have given things up to help raise Timothy. There's maybe many people here today who have shown that love, that sacrificial love, and we thank you for doing that. But then also a life of self-control, of self-discipline. Being able to say no to things that may make us stumble. That may be the things that may feel pleasurable, but ultimately they're the things that make things sometimes worse. Maybe those are the things that make us physically worse, mentally worse. Guilt. Things that we may be doing in life that we know we should say no to. a life well lived, being able to say, actually, I'm not going to follow the crowd. I'm going to follow the way that I feel is right to follow. Paul also writes in Colossians chapter 3, when talking about giving things up, he talks about put to death things of the flesh. Because he knows of the stumble. He knows of what that can do, where that can lead. Yeah, I think a life well lived doesn't necessarily have to be a rich one or one that travels the world. That's added bonus and good for you, and we love doing those kind of things. But a life well lived is a life that is saying, through all the heartaches, through all the trials, I'm going to bring Jesus into that. And I want the community around me to see that Jesus reigns, that Jesus isn't just a tradition, just isn't just a religion, that this is life, that he can give us a strength. He can give us a peace that is beyond understanding. And I found that myself when going back those years of struggle, of finding a peace that is beyond understanding. I remember one night just crying out, not understanding why I was feeling what I was feeling, and just crying out. And in that moment, receiving this peace that it does say in the Bible is beyond understanding. And I couldn't put my finger to it. I'd never felt this thing before. And ultimately, I say that we can experience God today. We can experience this peace, this life today. Allow that faith to dwell in us. Allow all to see that true, genuine faith that is in us, for our children, for our grandchildren, for our community, to know that this is true, that this is reality. A life well lived is a life in Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that ultimately we can cry out to you. We thank you for all those who have gone before us. Maybe those who have already gone to be with you. Maybe those who are sat here today. We thank you for them, for living a life of faith, that we can see in them, even through the scars, even through the tears, even through the heartaches of life, we can still see lives that are well lived because they are just clinging to you and allowing you to fill them and give them strength, to give them love, to give them forgiveness, to give self-control in ultimately pursuing you. Help us all to set our hearts and minds on you, Jesus. Give us the strength, Father God, to face each day. Give us the strength to face those fears, those anxieties, those troubles that we face that all look different. That we can thrive in you. Jesus, we praise you. You are mighty. In your name, amen.
Please stand with us.